Hello and welcome to the Open Systems Media Webcast, Empowering Next Generation Automotive Wireless Systems Using Advanced Test Solutions. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speaker, Alex Pault with Embedded Computing Design, and Craig Hendricks that will be joining us for the Q&A with Anritsu. Alex is the Senior Technical Editor and European Correspondent for Embedded Computing Design in Europe, living in Germany. Previously, Alex was the Editor-in-Chief of Power Systems Design, and before that, the Editorial Director for the Electronic Design Group at Advantage Business Media. Alex got his start in the electronic trade side of the business as an Associate Editor at Electronic Parts, and his military service was as an Electronic Warfare Signals Intelligence Analyst in the Army Security Agency in the early 1980s. Craig Hendricks will also be joining us for the Q&A. He has 35 years of test and measurement experience, 27 with Anritsu, with roles including sales, applications engineering, engineering management, and senior technology, and now is senior business development manager. He's spent the last 30 years focused on RF, wireless market, and the last 5 years with an automotive focus. Before heading to the content, today's schedule consists of about 50 minutes of presentation, leaving 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Let's run down some important features of your viewing console. The Enlarge Slides button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this webcast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate today. You can simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit questions at any time during the presentation. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the question is fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A. And if you have a question pertaining to the webcast operation itself, you can submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you. This and all Open Systems Media webcasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. On with the show. Alex, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Kurt. I really appreciate it. What a great introduction. Hi, welcome everybody. My name is Alex Pault, as Kurt said, and I'd like to welcome you to this presentation on empowering next generation automotive wireless systems with advanced test solutions. This presentation was prepared in conjunction with Anritsu, and as Kurt said, we've arranged for one of their engineers, Craig Hendricks, the company senior business development manager, to be available after this presentation, and he and I will answer as many of your questions as possible. Feel free to submit questions at any point, and we'll address each in the order they're received. As Kurt said, there is a text box for those questions, and if you don't see it, you might want to change your Zoom settings. We'll be answering the questions mostly in the order they were received, and if there are any questions that don't that we don't have the immediate answer for, or we have to look for something or look something up, we'll get your information and we'll be back to you in prompt fashion with the correct answer, or at least the best answer we can give you. So let's begin. Let's look at the migration of automotive electronics and the e-enabled vehicle. I mean, when we think of it, the electrification of vehicles is a long journey with a wide history that began over a century and a half ago. A lot of people think that advanced electronics and electronic and electrical drivetrains only became germane to the design engineering community currently, you know, with the advent of Tesla and the recent resurgence of the electric vehicle. But that's not really the case, because even if you think about internal combustion engines, advanced electronic systems in an automotive system have their origins in those very same engine management devices used to adjust performance impacting parameters like spark timing and the fuel air mixture. So this need for electronic systems for fossil fuel vehicles or electrical vehicles will continue to be the case for the foreseeable future. Although there will be different core technologies and systems used, be it fuel cell or flywheel storage. There are a lot of ways to move a car, but there will be only a certain number of ways that we can communicate with it and integrate it into the automotive Internet of Things and smart city infrastructures. Advanced vehicle application spaces involving vehicle to everything, or also known as V2X, and of course the Internet of Things functionalities will apply eventually to all traffic on the road. And just as those first engine management systems in cars required their own specialized test equipment and procedures, the next generation of cars, regardless of what's under the hood, are going to need new test solutions or new ways, procedures, processes to address these systems. The expansion of things such as infotainment systems. Infotainment system functionality is supported on a raft of wireless system infrastructures that must be supported by applicable test systems. Wireless systems often suffer from connection problems from a lot of different factors, and this presentation will cover some of the various systems involved in these advanced vehicle systems and how advanced test solutions can ensure the optimal performance of these RS systems in the finished product. Now, the modern car is a vehicle of convergence. It is literally, as well as metaphorically, at the crossroads of all advanced consumer technology. Everything that's currently being developed, almost every area of core technology currently being researched and deployed, is being done so with automotive systems in mind. From the use of wide bandgap semiconductors in drivetrains and power systems, to advanced artificial intelligence systems for ADAS and other vehicle systems. The car's role in society and its position at the confluence of technology development gives it a very important role in the migration of all of these embedded technologies. The demands placed on the manufacturer to integrate advanced infotainment features like interactive navigation, streaming multimedia, and some of the other passenger-integrated technologies require equally advanced testing solutions. These solutions have to ensure the best performance, ensure the maximum energy efficiency, and ensure complete regulatory compliance, because obviously you can have the best performing system on the planet, and if it doesn't pass whatever your local compliance regulatory organization demands, you're not going to be able to implement your design. Add to that long list the need to integrate cybersecurity and to address security issues within the vehicle, and you've got another issue. Then you've got to layer on top of that the other safety and privacy protection functionality that the current Internet of Things demands. So this need for performance and compliance verification becomes even more critical in applications that use personal information. Think about things like wireless card-free e-commerce for in-vehicle payments. So, for example, in drive-thrus or in gas stations, buying everything from gasoline and biofuel to car washes and hamburgers. All of these functionalities are going to be integrated in the modern vehicle, and we are going to have to make sure it all works together properly. The explosion of these RF-based vehicle systems is not just restricted to passenger-oriented functionality, obviously. The number of RF-based subsystems in a vehicle for features like tire pressure monitoring, remote keyless entry, software updates for the firmware, car diagnostics, monitoring for predictive maintenance, they all need to be tested at every stage of design, every stage of development, and during manufacturing to make sure that you get optimum results and you can guarantee performance to the public. Other next-generation in-vehicle systems include things like radar for ADAS, advanced driver assistance systems, emergency response systems such as eCall, and even things like backhaul for the Wi-Fi mobile hotspot capability so the passengers can enjoy a Wi-Fi hotspot. These are all a lot of variables that have to be addressed. Now, when you think about cloud-enabled infotainment systems, the demand on high-quality infotainment functionality in cars is already high, because consumers expect their cloud-enabled cars to provide the latest functionality. If I can connect with that car, I expect it to give everything to me that my phone gives to me, that my other peripherals in my home gives to me. They're expecting the car to be just another data appliance in their personal world. This desire will only increase as electric vehicle manufacturers shift their focus, and they have to shift their focus, from engine performance and other muscle-related selling points to passenger-focused selling features, migrating away from horsepower to bandwidth to functionalities to the things that the next-generation driver cares about. The growth of in-cabin systems places an even greater pressure on the design team because it increases your system integration issues, and of course, system integration is a critical issue. Now, there are many applications within a vehicle that need to be integrated, both at the haptic and visual levels and at the control functionality at the user interface level. In addition, all of the underlying subsystems must be deployed in a way that each can do their job without interfering with operation of the other devices in the vehicle. This growing level of expectation and passenger functionality transcends the vehicle type. It doesn't have to be an SUV, sports car, station wagon. If it's got four wheels, does it matter if it's powered by gasoline, batteries, or diesel? If a passenger gets into a modern vehicle, they expect the full palette of functionality to be available to them. Regardless of the conveyance, passengers expect certain features, and that's why auto manufacturers are under pressure to provide cloud-supported infotainment in all the vehicles in their lineup. Entertainment media, both audio and video, can be presented to the audience and the passengers in the vehicle in multiple ways. And don't forget, the driver also needs certain information, and in the future may wish to toggle between driver and passenger-oriented infotainment. When the car is driving, the driver may be able to, in a higher-level ADAS system, be able to watch the same movie the passengers are, or may decide to watch the road. Now, when it comes to the recorded or streaming multimedia, there are a lot of ways to access that. Video can be presented on transflective surfaces, side windows, dashboards, seat back monitors, or even wirelessly to the personal devices that the passengers hold. Audio delivery could be from in-car speakers, headphone jacks that the passenger could plug their Beats headphones into, or via the vehicle LAN, and they would, again, use their own devices. Each of these pathways for accessing the multimedia and the capability, they need to have the capability to select among all of the various sources of content available, whether on storage within the infotainment system, received from over-the-air radio, or sent from passenger devices, even streamed to the vehicle from the cloud. Each of these various sources require their own support infrastructures, and they must be all tested for functionality, reliability, non-interference, and compliance. In legacy automotive electronics, wireless LAN has been presented, VLAN, WLAN, has been presented as an option in standalone navigation systems. However, it's an expected part of cabin services and advanced in-vehicle infotainment systems. Securing value-added cabin services requires validation by preparing system-wide wireless performance data, and this data must be secure for multiple reasons. Security as a feature is becoming more and more of a reality as customers become more aware of the need to protect their data and personal information. This need for security is also important for next-generation infotainment functionality like e-commerce, where, you know, again, wireless billing, automatic payment services, these transactions place demands on every aspect of the wireless connection, from the stability of the connection to the security of the connection. This validation must not only happen at the board level, but every stage, from embedded modules up to every single subsystem and the product as a gestalt must be tested. It has to be tested using highly accurate simulation solutions, because unless you mimic the challenging wireless environment, you cannot ensure real-world performance. Providing the high-quality, stable, and reliable in-vehicle functionality demanded by the consumer requires both performance data for communications between subsystems and the quantitative data from the finished products under actual operating conditions. So let's think about wireless vehicle infrastructures. The scope of RS-based vehicle systems is not just restricted to the passenger-oriented aspects. I mean, it's not just infotainment and shopping, but it's also the various monitoring management subsystems in the vehicle infrastructure itself. These core function devices also have to address the issues of connection, performance, reliability, and security. Wireless automotive subsystems are a recent but not a new idea. For example, remote keyless entry systems came from the wireless car alarm industry. They were very popular in the previous century. And let's face it, most were liked for the convenience features like remote door operation and remote engine start. They really weren't that interested in the alarm noise, were they? It was that functionality set and things like vehicle tracking and anti-carjacking and lowjack. All of these functionalities actually migrated from the aftermarket and those aftermarket car stereos and the car alarm systems into the OEM. Today, advanced remote control entry systems don't just open doors. They start engines, and they can eventually include sophisticated features like remote vehicle operation. There are already some car manufacturers that offer remote parking capability through the remote. Today, you've got anti-theft, door operation, engine operation, trunk operation, roof operation, and in some model seat position. This will continue to advance. The design aspects of remote keyless entry systems not only include the functionality set, but they also include the need to match the key to the car and determine the position of the key relative to the car to prevent the key from accidentally being locked in the vehicle, and also to prevent any type of theft situation when the driver is alone and does not want the car to unlock when they're too far away from the vehicle. And of course, you want to prevent the signal from being snatched. Another car application with some wireless history is tire pressure monitoring, which is now mandatory for all new registered vehicles and has been since November of 2014, at least in the United States. Tire pressure monitoring systems don't have to be wireless. You can indirectly measure it using ABS data or wheel speed sensors, but many manufacturers use direct measurement active systems that have wireless sensors, and these wireless systems must be tested during development, manufacture, and fielding from the transmitter to the receiver. Accurate and effective testing for these automotive systems is essential. Testing's the things like tire pressure monitoring, remote keyless, as thoroughly as possible is crucial, because not only are these sensors and modules subject to harsh and wet environments, road chemicals and the things like that, they're also critical vehicle entry, access, and operational systems. And by properly testing them, you can ensure the reliability, the system security, and the integrity of these and the other wireless vehicle systems. Now, when we start thinking about wireless vehicle infrastructures, we have to think about the external vehicle infrastructures that the car has to address, things about car operation and emergency response, like advanced driver assistance systems, ADAS, or e-call, automatic emergency calling, or other emergency telemetry or functionality that might be provided in the vehicle. The development of next-generation ADAS is another place that is the focus of a wide range of technologies and services and solutions, all with the goal of helping drivers operate the vehicle safer and better, and eventually is going to migrate completely autonomous driving. Automotive radar technology is rapidly advancing, and is evolving as ADAS and autonomous vehicle development drives demand. And testing both radar capabilities and the interaction of multiple radars, not just on the vehicle itself, but interference from other vehicles, has never been more important, because you have to validate the performance of the components, the modules, and the systems throughout the R&D and manufacturing process. Another RF-based vehicle system is the eCall, which is a European Union initiative for rapid assistance, automated rapid assistance to motorists in collisions anywhere in the European Union. eCall was made mandatory in all new cars sold within the EU since April of last year, 2018. Now, an eCall system is activated automatically as soon as the in-vehicle system sensors detect a life-threatening crash, and then the system dials the European emergency number 112 and sets up a telephone link to an appropriate emergency call center. The system uses the Galileo European Satellite Positioning Network and the European Geostationary Navigation Overlay Service, EGNOS. Now, eCall sends the time of the incident, location data on the crash vehicle, and the direction of travel, which gives the emergency responders important crash information. Now, in addition to this empowering emergency responders and speeding response time in a crash, the functionality can also be used in accidents and emergencies that don't involve a collision. And there's like a hot button that you can use to inform authorities about serious accidents that occur to, say, for example, a car that doesn't have eCall. Now, the Russian automated emergency response system called ERA GLONASS and the EU's eCall have similar functionality, so they're forming a common road safety space throughout European Russia and the EU member states. And more systems are using all the satellite feedback, GPS, Galileo, and the Russian GLONASS to increase their redundancy and accuracy. And, of course, wireless testing systems have to address that need to ensure optimum performance and reliability in the real world. Now, let's talk a little bit about the automotive Internet of Things, because a modern car, as we talked about, has to provide cloud-enabled capabilities not only to its passengers, but also to its infotainment and its hardware subsystems. To the manufacturer and the car dealer, the smart vehicle can also be a client of services itself, right? So value-added functionality like vehicle software and map information updates will become only a few of the many automotive Internet of Things related features in a car. Now, a modern vehicle can have up to 100 computing units and has millions of lines of code. And keeping this up to date and installing new functions used to require a trip to the repair shop and a hookup to an on-station computer with a cable. But because of internet connectivity that enable services that don't require physical presence, more and more solutions are going to be created that will require software or firmware updates over the air. You know, SOTA for software, FOTA for firmware over the air. These over-the-air solutions are currently used to optimize the vehicle without turning a wrench, by Tesla, for example, and can make new or improved functionality available without having to visit a garage or a dealer. Beyond receiving the data for passenger entertainment, part of the information in the infotainment, of course, is the data for reference applications like vehicle navigation. Now, over-the-air updates were first used for nav system applications, and obviously finding your way is still an important need. But today's updates, today's map updates, navigation information, can now include targeted marking data, sales information, sales opportunities, and in the future could incorporate things like augmented reality data for heads-up displays and interactive passenger windows. So in addition to updating vehicle software and car diagnostics and maintenance alerts, all of those things can be managed over the air. Being alerted to engine problems was once limited to either a good dash full of gauges and the skill to use them, or going to the dealer the moment the idiot light, the alert light on the dashboard went on and attached to the computer diagnostic terminal. Next generation smart vehicles will have cable jacks, of course, but most vehicle diagnostic and maintenance in the future will be cloud enabled. So these systems are another facet of the mix that represents the RF environment, the challenging RF environment that a vehicle designer has to address. And each aspect of the design requires its own set of testing solutions to make sure that that subsystem not only operates in an optimum and compliant manner by itself, but also in a way that deals with the other RF devices in the vehicle and their potential integration issues. Now, let's look a little bit at intelligent transportation systems, because the place where all of this comes together, the place where smart city, smart car, the Internet of Things, intelligent transportation. So it's part of a smart city, smart home, smart everything philosophy. Intelligent transportation systems are creating all kinds of services now, involving all of the different modes of transportation, involving all of the different aspects of traffic management, and eventually these systems are going to include pedestrian devices like cell phones and other non-vehicle telemetry. You know, wheelchairs may have telemetry in them. Wearable medical devices may have telemetry in them, and that telemetry can also be used by intelligent vehicles and intelligent traffic systems to track the movement of people. So vehicle to everything will be an important infrastructure, and it will be necessary to completely enable autonomous cars and buses and delivery vehicles to give them that additional information on the things and people around them and supplement their own sensor systems. For example, once pedestrian cell phones become part of vehicle to pedestrian, their location can be confirmed. So the vehicle doesn't just see them, but it also senses them in the electronic environment. So connecting these transportation networks to each other and to the broader internet will make roads safer, it'll make travel more efficient, it'll even reduce air pollution and might even improve the experience of drivers. Because the aspect and of the multi-layered communication system with all of the vehicles and the world around them, this vehicle to everything is becoming its own application space, V2X. And this application space can be further broken down into vehicle to grid, vehicle to vehicle, vehicle to infrastructure, vehicle to pedestrian, and vehicle to network. So it's not just a buzzword in the sense that the vehicle's talking to everything. These are application spaces that are being broken out within the industry, and each of them is developing its own set of solutions and test requirements. For example, in the V2X space, the vehicle-to-everything space, dedicated short-range communication technology and the 802.11p standard have advanced to solve the short-term needs, but of course, it's an interim solution. It's the first wave of mainstream vehicle-to-everything deployment, and it's going to complement the developing LTE and 5G solutions. Dedicated short-range communication enables highly secure, high-speed direct communication between vehicles and the surrounding infrastructure without involving any cellular infrastructure, reducing bandwidth demands. 802.11p is an amendment to 802.11 that defines the enhancements to support intelligent transportation systems applications. Now, enabling these functionalities requires advanced testing solutions for vehicle to everything. Again, straight from the R&D desk to field test through manufacturing, because the testing solutions have to integrate multiple features to reduce the complex processes and reduce the test time and test cycles because the test is so ubiquitous now to the process. Providing reliable broadband communications in wireless high mobility environments, well, I mean, look at railway systems, is another challenge. And it remains a challenge in the high mobility environment when you're developing next generation wireless systems. Key challenges in the high mobility communications testing include the accurate modeling of high mobility channels. These are the transceiver structures that can exploit the properties of high mobility environments. Such systems with diversity tuning and other ways to ensure optimum performance have to be tested at every stage. Things like Doppler diversity mitigating impairments such as carrier frequency offset, inter-carrier interference, and channel estimation efforts, the busier the electronic environment gets, the more it has to be simulated to ensure that the device can survive within it. So, let's take a look at some of the test solutions that we can apply to this automotive environment. I mean, we'll look at some of test solutions, some test scenarios, and some of the ways that we can address them. So, let's look at evaluating the wireless LAN environment in an automobile. Because the next generation electronic environment that advanced automobiles will encounter is a complex and multi-layered one, it's important to take a methodical ground-up approach to ensure the vehicle, its RF subsystems, and its passenger devices and the devices that the passengers carry into the vehicle are working together in harmony. One approach is to begin with the car's internal wireless provision capabilities and then evaluate the wireless LAN products and subsystems involved, evaluate their connection issues, and then explore any interference and noise issues. A good first step is to determine if you're receiving a wireless LAN signal everywhere in the vehicle. Because by collecting RF test data under demanding operating conditions, it allows you to quantify real-world cabin wireless characteristics properly. Because this not only improves the system performance, it also helps prevent post-sale problems. It increases reliability, and of course that boosts product's confidence in the consumer, because only by ensuring that it really does work everywhere, you don't wind up disappointing the passengers and impacting the impression of the vehicle. So in-vehicle wireless LAN technology is increasingly supporting in-vehicle applications and services that are provided by the automotive infotainment systems. And to ensure high quality and stable in-vehicle services requires both the performance data for the communications modules and the quantitative data from the finished products under actual operating conditions. One such test is the Anritsu MT8862A, which offers three advantages for capturing quantitative data on wireless characteristics. The first is a network mode, and that uses a standard wireless LAN connection for the measurement environment. And that way, finished products with embedded wireless LAN modules can be tested quantitatively under actual operating conditions, supporting both the wireless LAN module evaluation as well as the evaluation of products with embedded modules. So, let's move on. Let's look at some of the reasons to use the device. One of the things about the MT862A is that it offers enhanced connectivity to support network mode measurements and can be connected to both access point and station by IEEE 802.11a, B, G, N, and AC, and the AX, which is right on the horizon. And in addition, it also supports product testing while wireless security functions remain on. That's an important point to emphasize, because security being such a critical issue, if you test the system in an unsecure state, you can't guarantee how it will operate in a secure state. The MT8862 also provides a frame capture function with logging and an IP data transmitter port so that it'll help you resolve issues and help speed troubleshooting and aid with product and problem isolation. In addition, the IP data transmission port also supports confirming connections and the transmission measurement by using user-defined data, so you can plug in data and work from that. The frame capture function uses Wireshark to help cut some of the problem resolution costs. Now, since the MT8862A's measurement system uses a standard wireless LAN connection, you don't have to install special firmware for DUT evaluation, which reduces your complexity and cost, and it can also be controlled from a compatible operating system and browser. It also offers an optimized and repeatable evaluation environment that's not offered by access points, so you can measure receiver sensitivity as indicated by the packet error rate. So let's look at some of the ways to evaluate wireless products, because as I said earlier in the presentation, the number of automotive systems that use wireless connectivity is expanding rapidly because it has to offer cloud-enabled functionality in more passenger-oriented applications, not to mention vehicle applications that will start using cloud functionality. Because when you think of the car as a wireless environment, it's got to integrate phones, personal electronics, and other IoT devices that the manufacturer didn't even plan to have placed in the vehicle, as well as the systems that passengers may bring into the vehicle that are for life-critical applications, like portable and wearable medical devices. So once you've determined the ability of the vehicle to support a wireless environment, it's useful. It's important to validate the receiver and transmitter characteristics of the vehicle's wireless devices and systems. Because in addition to verifying the vehicle wireless environment, the MT8862A wireless connectivity test set can also evaluate the characteristics of the wireless products and systems within the vehicle. In order to offer the widest compatibility, the MT8862A supports IEEE's 802.11b, g, n1 on the 2.4 gigahertz band, and IEEE 802.11a, n1, and AC2 on the 5 gigahertz band. So it can perform all-in-one measurement of key transmitter and receiver performance parameters. And in addition, the MT8862A, it provides logging, which obviously helps when it comes to troubleshooting and connection issues. It's easy to access the built-in web server in the device for control from a web browser. We recommend Google Chrome running on a control PC to help simplify the measurement setup. But there's no control software needed because you control everything via the web browser. This also means there's no need for version matching between the main unit firmware and the software, also making things a little easier for you. The MT8862A can perform transmission tests with data or ACK frames, and using the data frame, the device sends an ICMP echo request and can measure the ICMP echo reply signal from the wireless device. And in the ACK frame, the MTT8862A sends a unique UDP test packet and can measure the ACK frame signal sent back from the wireless device. So the MT8862A can analyze the header of the packet received from the wireless device and perform RF measurements on it, like power, modulation accuracy, and spectrum, and display the results to you. And it can also measure packets sent by an Ethernet port for IP data on the back panel. Now, the MT8862A uses a unique UDP test packet to the wireless device to use the count of the ACK frames sent from the wireless device to measure the PER, the packet error rate, by the FRR, the frame reception rate. The ETSI EN300-328 version 2.11 standard, which came out in 2017, added that PER specification to the receiver blocking test for wireless wideband products operating in a 2.4 gigahertz ISM band, and that includes wireless LAN. The MT8862A PER measurement function supports this test with an available signal generator that can be obtained, which can be, it is sold separately, but will allow you to obtain the interference waveform. Now, capturing the receiver sensitivity level of the devices is extremely important for quantitative evaluation. Generally, the receiver sensitivity level is obtained by measuring the PER while charging the output level of the measuring instrument, either manually or automatically with an automation program. Now, if you do it manually, the measurement can take a long time because the level is changed repeatedly for each PER measurement. But configuration of an automatic system with programming instrument, it places a burden on the engineer, obviously. So the MT8862A has a function to automatically capture the bathtub curve simply by inputting the test limit values. Like the signal output start and stop levels and step size. The capture results can be saved for analysis. So basically, you connect the MT8862A in your control PC by LAN and then use an RF anechoic chamber and the wireless LAN product for the testing to complete the setup. Once you power on the device, control PC, and the product, the web browser can access the graphical user interface and start the measurement. And of course, again, since security is becoming increasingly important, the MT8862A can connect and perform measurements without disabling the wireless LAN's device security settings. With its logging function, it can let you evaluate the transmit power, modulation, accuracy, and receiver sensitivity. Again, since you're not disabling the LAN security settings, it allows you to guarantee performance under real-world conditions. Now, if you look on the upper right of the slide, you'll see examples of the 64 QAM constellation screens. The number of symbol points create an 8x8 grid on the vertical and horizontal axes, and the error vector magnitude, or EVM, is an index expressing the difference between the theoretical and the actual symbol points as a percentage. Now, symbol points with good modulation accuracy are focused at one point, whereas the points are diffused when the modulation accuracy is poor. A product with poor modulation accuracy, it doesn't get the signals correctly, and so the communication speed may decrease with more dropped connections. Now, transmission characteristics may also be degraded due to the positioning of the internal antennas when the product orientation is changed, suffering changing modulation accuracy as the product orientation changes. Now, that's another reason it's very important to use testing situations as realistic as possible to reflect these critical but subtle issues. In addition, the modulation accuracy can change significantly when you're changing the transmission rate and the modulation method. So if you look at the image across the bottom of the slide, that shows that some products are able to operate stably at all transmission rates, but some suffer changing modulation accuracy when the transmission rate changes. Now, changing the equipment channel and frequency is another aspect that sharply affects modulation accuracy because of the frequency characteristics performance. Now, the modulation accuracy of some products is stable even when the channel is changed, but other products suffer serious changes in modulation accuracy with the channel changes. But if you do it properly, effective simulation and testing of RF transmit and receive performance will give you better product performance, improve your reliability, increase your energy efficiency, and of course, guarantee that your product's going to work when it hits the field. When we look at interference, the ability to, hunting down interference requires the ability to spot, find, and fix an interferer, which isn't easy all the time. It's important to not only have the right tools, but you also have to be able to identify the issue, and hunting is going to be the key to that. Interference is any unwanted signal that makes a radio's job harder, such as, illegal transmissions, overpowered transmitters, unlocked or drifting transmissions, and, of course, hardware noise from leaky cables and connectors and unsuppressed EMI from motors and microwave ovens and things of those natures. I mean, even multipath. So interference and unintentional signals from mobile service providers and security services, alarm systems, these will all degrade your network performance and, it'll give you problems with your communications. So internal radio interference can also come from inside the product, like power supply issues, CPU and motor issues, and mismatches in antennas and devices within wireless systems. So the issue of physical separation is also important because it makes it difficult to take effective conventional shielding measures and methods against RF interference. And power supply inverters, motors and cooling fans, they also create noise issues in wireless LAN communications. And, of course, any noise can cause faults in the product's own wireless communication. It's kind of like self-intoxication, as it were, intra-EMC, intra-electromagnetic capability. As shown at the image at the top of this slide, although the frequency of motor noise may be lower than the frequency bands used, the receiver sensibility performance is degraded, and errors can occur even when the received signal is sufficiently strong. With this type of intra-EMC, the noise frequencies generated can affect its wireless LAN communications capabilities. Now, the USB itself is an issue. The latest upgrade to faster USB speeds bring benefits and challenges, but it really is an enabler, but it's a problem. The USB 3.2 Gen 1 standard enables communication to reach 5 gigabits a second with a digital transmission reference of 2.5 gigahertz. This can obviously radiate as interference noise in the 2.4 gigahertz band unless the device is appropriately designed and, of course, tested for proper compliance and leakage. Not only can noise radiated from USB 3.2 Gen 1 devices degrade signal-to-noise ratio, they can also reduce your communication speeds. Solving these issues requires characterization of the noise source and using a measurement probe and spectrum analyzer, and may require additional filters and shielding. You might even have to do a board respin. So Onritsu's wireless connectivity test set can provide an evaluation method for noise issue as a different way than conventional spectrum analysis. With its easy method for measuring the wireless module receive performance, the error rate, it can capture the degree of error rate caused by USB noise. Since the wireless connectivity test set measures the built-in wireless LAN performance under actual operating condition, it's very well suited for measuring the receive performance of a wireless LAN module in a USB noise environment. Now, eSIM, SIM cards that use communication services with a safe profile, it represents both data and mechanical disadvantages, card wear when inserting cards, changing cards, and hardware readers. Because of that, there's development going on embedded eSIM functions for rewriting the data stored wirelessly. Now, with eSIM technology, you can easily update the SIM profile to switch between mobile network operators, and it's becoming getting the interest of automotive in the industry. Now, to ensure proper international and cross-border operation, eSIM-related regulations have been established, and there's a trend favoring eSIM pre-release testing. One example is Chapter 9 of the Russian GOST 33470 standard, which states that approval must be obtained on the export of some products to the Russian Federation. Now, that standard determines the wireless module test method for the Russian automobile emergency assistance equipment systems. So that recently added Chapter 9 standardizes the tests and is expected to become mandatory this year. And the testing must be conducted by the Russian government-authorized testing organization. So as shown in the slide, the eSIM is updated over the air, and the automobile connects to a GSM or a WCDMA or an LTE wireless system, and it accesses the server with an operator profile, and then the new profile is downloaded and validated. The lower half of the figure here shows the test environment proposed by Anritsu and UICC test vendor Comprion using the MD8475B to test in compliance with the GOST 33470 Chapter 9. And this test system has been examined and it has been validated by the SVIVAT's Certificat, the government-approved testing organization. An effective signaling tester that simulates a base station must be able to support all of the technologies supported by the device under test, such as LTE, LTE Advanced, Advanced Pro, and third and second generation methods, including 5G. One solution can be found in the MT-8000A radio communication test station. That solution supports both sub-6 gigahertz and millimeter wave. And so it's been adopted for chipset signaling and protocol evaluations, as well as evaluating RF performance in an over-the-air environment, of course, with a chamber. Now, with a 5G base station emulation function, a single MT-8000A test platform supports FR1 up to 7.125 gigahertz and FR2 millimeter wave bands used by 5G. Using it with an over-the-air chamber enables both millimeter wave RF measurements and beamforming tests using call connections specified by 3GPP or using it with a millimeter wave shield box for functional and protocol testing. Now, in addition, the solution provides for LTE advanced 3CA or 4CA or 5CA using up to 8 transmit and 4 RF ports at up to 6 gigahertz. There's also a built-in traffic generator for up to 1.6 gigahertz IP transfer or 2.8 with two testers. And an integrated RF front end provides for an easy test setup. The MD847B signaling tester supports multimode terminals and can handle LTE, 2x2 MIMO, 4x2 MIMO, LTE Advanced, WCDMA, HSPA, HSPA Evolution, DC, HSDPMA, GSM, GPRS, TD-SCDMA, and TD-HSPA, among others. Now, a Smart Studio GUI supports the setup of the test environments and functional tests with a built-in server function to support GUI-based IMS tests such as VoLTE. There's a script mode supporting test environments that creates SIP sequences for irregular tests, and in additional features include LTE data throughput evaluation environment and all-in-one DC HSDPA 43.2 MPBS support. Of course, there's also support for a multi-cell test environment, including cell reselection, redirection, charge, and fallback, and it supports offload tests from LTE and WCDMA to wireless LAN. It can perform automated continuous testing using Smart Studio Management with more than 180 sample frequencies available for immediate testing after setup. Another tool is the MT8821C wireless communication tester for RS3GP testing, which supports all cellular technologies, including LTE, LTE Advanced, Cat1M1, NB-IoT, WCDMA, HSPA, GSM, EG, PRS, TDSCMA and CDMA 2000. It supports LTE advanced downlink carrier aggregation, 5CC SISO, 2CCS, 4x4 MIMO, 2x2 MIMO, support for LTE advanced downlink character aggregation tests using two units, and it can even support the LTE advanced downlink carrier aggregation 8CCS 4x4 MIMO with four units. In addition, it can handle voice video echo back tests up to 6 gigahertz with 160 megahertz wide frequency bandwidth for the generator analyzer using a GUI. And it's backwards compatible with the MT8820 series. Now, eCall and ERA GLONASS, those are emergency rescue information systems, and in addition to deploying in Europe, it will deploy in ASEAN member countries in Asia, and the regulation will apply to passenger vehicles with a driver and 8 or less seats and trucks up to 3.5 tons. Now, tests of such systems with telematic functions are all supported by the MD8475B and the MX703330E devices, and combining it with a mobile simulator built into the eCall tester, the MX703330E offers a very simple GUI for running complex cellular tests to improve quality and reliability. Of course, cybersecurity is important. The importance of cybersecurity becomes even more critical with self-driving technologies and other aspects. And the MD8475B can also be used with various other security evaluation systems for cybersecurity penetration tests not using port scans. So, let's look forward. The whole aspect of the next generation vehicle, the role as an IT environment, the role in society, this all relies on next generation advanced test solutions, verification, and validation. And we're pleased that you stuck around to hear about ways that can be addressed. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And I'm going to hand this over to Kurt.
Great, thanks. Lots of fantastic information. Did want to try to get a couple of quick Q&A questions in here for Craig since we have his expertise. There's a question about low latency testing, like in 5G with their ultra-low latency frequencies and those kinds of things. How do you test wireless connectivity and its ability to meet latency and what the behavior of the system is if the latency falls outside of the tolerated bounds?
So actually in 5G, some of the main applications for low latency, a lot of them, especially in automotive, are driven by the automakers. And there's some technology in the 5G standard for what they call edge computing and network slicing that come into play here. So edge computing basically means instead of going across the country, across the world to access a server, the servers are located or distributed near where the user is to reduce the latency. But in general, to test latency, one of the slides showed there, we have the Anritsu MT8000 5G tester. It can be used for doing those types of connections. So we can set up a connection from a client device through the MT8000 to a server PC, and we can measure latency that way.
Okay. Maybe one other very quick question. Can you maybe briefly describe what a test rig might look like to do things like wireless interface testing, as well as maybe even some how you might test for security vulnerabilities or any guidance or recommendations there?
Well, so for example, as you saw on the slides there with the cellular network simulators, especially the Anritsu with the Anritsu 8475 with the Smart Studio GUI, it makes it really easy to get a connection through to the actual internet or to a server. And once you have that internet connection, you can use regular IP technology and security tools that are available in Windows, for example, to do your security testing at the IP level. There's also capability in the GUI for being able to do some what they call fuzzing testing, where you can do things in the cellular protocol, like send reject or ignore certain signaling messages, or check to see if a different access point APN is connecting through the device, like they did with the a couple years ago when we had the Chrysler Jeep that was hacked and driven into the ditch. The way they did it was they came in through the internet APN, and they got that to connect to the APN that was connected to the CAN bus that controls the vehicle. So with those signaling testers like that, especially the ones that we have that make it so easy to connect and give you so many parameters to vary in there, it makes it easy to test.
Got it. Oh, great. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of the time we have. I want to thank Alex and Craig for sharing those insights on advanced test solutions for next-generation automotive wireless system. Thanks, friend Ritsu, for sponsoring today. It's great. We at Open Systems Media and Ritsu want to thank you, the audience, for attending and contributing those excellent questions. If you did submit a question, we didn't get to it, I'm sure they'll get back to you. This webcast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen in 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast will also be made available. The Open Systems Media webcasts are available for download as MP3s. And are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. Thanks for attending. Have a great day.